There is one commentator on the Scriptures who refers to this morning's Gospel, the first 9 verses of the 13th chapter of St. Luke, refers to it as 2 short newspaper stories and a parable. That's really what it is. The people who are gathered around Jesus, they bring Him news. They ask Him, "Did you hear about those Galileans? How Pilate mixed their blood with the blood of sacrifice?" And then Jesus said, "Yes, but have you heard about those 18 workers who fell from the Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem and were killed?" It's only in St. Luke's Gospel that these 2 references are made. When you find in one of the Gospels a statement or an incident that is not recorded in the other 3, then it's very appropriate to ask, why is it recorded here? What purpose does it have? Why is it included in this Gospel and not in the others? It's a very appropriate question to ask. And the answer to that, why is this story about Pilate and the Galileans told here? The answer to it is found later on in St. Luke's Gospel, the story of the Passion and Death of Jesus. Jesus is brought before Pilate. Pilate finds out he's a Galilean. Pilate realizes that Herod, the king of Galilee, is in town. And so he sends Jesus to Herod. It's the only time in the stories of the Passion, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's only in Luke that that story is told. Well, what is this about the Galileans and Pilate? H.V. Morton, in one of his travel books, writes a travel essay about his visiting the Holy Land. And he says in part, "I passed the white-domed tomb of Rachel, which is venerated by Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and just where the road branches and heads to Hebron, I looked over a stone wall and I saw something which the archaeologists of Jerusalem told me not to miss. It is the only surviving relic of Pontius Pilate. It is the ruin of an aqueduct which ran from the pools of Solomon to the temple area. It was an engineering work which involved Pilate in a great financial scandal. In order to bring water from Solomon's pool to the temple, Pilate raided the treasury of the temple. And the appropriation of this money created violent opposition in the city. Now the storm finally broke and came to a head when Pilate came up to Jerusalem from his headquarters in Caesarea, probably during the annual Passover pilgrimage. He always was present with extra troops at times of festival in case of trouble. However, this time Pilate sent troops among the crowd disguised as Jewish pilgrims. And these troops, at a signal, attacked the Jews, killed them, and so quelled the disturbance." Now, if this incident truly did occur at Passover time, there seems to be an echo of it in St. Luke's Gospel, when he mentions the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. And should this be correct, Then there is a remarkable historical coincidence that flows from it. Now you see, the Galileans who Pilate killed were not his own subjects. They were the subjects of Herod, the king of Galilee. Now when Pilate handed Jesus over to Herod, as we learn in St. Luke's Gospel, that very same day, Herod and Pilate became fast friends. For up until that point, they had been enemies of each other. Now I ask, is it possible that Pilate sent Jesus as a peace offering to Herod, the ruler of Galilee, to make up for the Galileans he had attacked and killed in a previous occasion? And then the strange thought occurs to me. The building of this aqueduct and the stealing of the temple treasury were contributing factors in the crucifixion of Jesus. Okay, that's the end of the history lesson. Now we'll turn to the parable. The parable is about not wasting time. You know, there's nothing wrong with that fig tree. That fig tree looks really good. That fig tree shoots out leaves. That fig tree is strong. The problem with the fig tree is it's unproductive. The problem with the fig tree is that there's no activity. And that's precisely the message that Jesus seeks to give to his disciples. He calls them to repentance, as he calls you and me to repentance. He said it's not good enough just to look good. You've got to do something. You've got to produce. It's human nature for us to procrastinate, to put off for tomorrow, to not make the decision, or at least to not make the tough decision. Maybe because we don't want the tension that that decision creates. Maybe we just don't want to choose because we don't want to limit our options. There might well be something better that comes down the line. And so what do, I procrastinate. I don't move. I don't make the decision. And it's precisely that Jesus is addressing in the parable. He says you need a deadline. Maybe you won't move off the dime unless you have a deadline. Maybe you work best under pressure with a deadline. Whatever it is, you aren't doing it without a deadline. And so in the story, in the parable, the gardener gives a deadline. Give the tree one more year. And I'll take care of it. I'll dig around its roots and I'll fertilize it. And if a year from now you come to gather fruit and there is fruit, then all well and good. But if the deadline passes and there's no activity, then it's time to cut it down. That's the message that Jesus is offering his contemporaries, saying, don't put it off any longer. I'm giving you a deadline. Well, it would be interesting for all of us to reflect upon if we had a deadline, if we knew we had one more year, if we knew that that was all that was given to us. Then what would we do with that year? How would we rearrange life? How would we reorder the priorities? How would we seek to spend our time? How would we spend our energy? If we had just a limited amount of time, what would we do with it? And you know, that's really not hypothetical, because that's all we have, is a limited amount of time. And for every single one of us, that time will run out, where there will be no more time. Now, you and I don't know what moment that's going to be. But what we know for sure is it's going to happen. And so Jesus says to his contemporaries and to us, now's the time. Make your decisions. Act. Reform your lives. Repent. Change your ways of thinking. Reorder your priorities. As we come to the halfway point in Lent, that's the message that the church puts before us. I would suggest that for all of us, it would be a very, very helpful exercise this week to take the time to think about, if I have only a limited amount of time, if like that fig tree, I only have a year, what is there that I want to do? What are the priorities I want to place highest? What is it that I can get rid of? What is it that is important, and what is it that's not important? Think about it. And since you and I know very well that the time is limited, then Jesus says, now is the time to act. You know what needs to be done. I've given you a deadline. Now it's time to produce and to bear fruit.